Amen. Glad you're here tonight. Why don't you turn your Bibles, if you would, to Psalms 103. Psalms chapter 103. Psalms chapter 103. Thank you for being in your place this evening. And I think the midweek service is so important in just getting that encouragement in the middle of the week as we begin moving towards the weekend. And so I'm glad you're in your spot. And if you're physically able, can we stand together as we read God's Word? Psalms 103. And let's continue to be in prayer for Pastor. And I know about now you're all getting nervous. Okay, when is he coming back? And we're tired of hearing you guys preach and all that. We want to hear our pastor preach. And I know that he's probably biting at the bit to get back, but I think it's still good for him to disconnect and to get his mind and heart pretty much cleared so that God could really fill it and give him new direction and purpose. And so thank you for putting up with us. And thank you for the token smiles and the nods like, amen, amen, amen. And in other words, you're sleeping and you're just nodding with your eyes closed. We understand that and we're thankful for that. Amen? It's better than snoring, all right? So if your neighbor's snoring, make sure you give him one of the elbows, all right? But Psalms 103, and this is probably one of my favorite psalms. Now, there's a lot, but Psalms 103 really just kind of encourages me. And so I hope that tonight will be just that time of encouragement. Right in the middle of the summer, it's hot outside, and it's even muggy. I mean, I'm from the Midwest, and man, it's been humid lately. And it does crazy things to my hair, and so I've been working on it all day long, and I just tell you what, it's just a frustration. And I know some of you could identify with that, right, Brother McCollum? But hopefully, let's find something in God's Word tonight that would be an encouragement to us. Verse number one, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfy thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you and praise you because you're worthy of it. We thank you for your word. And how it challenges us, and it reminds us, and it convicts us, and corrects us. And I pray that tonight would be just a time around your word that as a church family, we would find that encouragement, that little shot in the arm that would help us to continue to build our lives upon your word. We bless you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Have you ever been so excited that you couldn't control yourself? It's maybe like that last day before the kids go back to school. And you just can't wait to send them off and ladies have some mom time. Or maybe it's that day right before you go on vacation and you're so excited about that. You're so excited. You just can't even contain yourself. You're so excited about that vacation. Or maybe it's that night before you got married. Do you remember that? I remember my wife and I, well, before we were married, of course, the night before we got married, I remember how nervous I was. I couldn't sleep. And I remember trying my wedding socks on. When we got married, white was the fashion color for the groom to wear. And so I had white on, and I had this fluffy white shirt and white bow tie, and I had white socks, and I had white shoes, and I was so excited about that, and I just couldn't sleep that night. And then I think, when we had our first child, that first baby, and how, you're so excited, you really don't even know what you're doing. I know as, I didn't know what I was doing. I was the coach. I don't even know if they still have that. Amaz classes, I think they're called, where the husband was there. Okay, now, honey, get a focal point, and you get this. Now, honey, you stare at that, and you help him to breathe, And then when the pains get harder, you know, something like that. And boy, I remember, let me tell you, that stuff doesn't work. And my wife, you know, she's, you know, so graceful and meek and quiet. But I tell you what, during those labor pains, she became a wild beast. And she got her nails out and she said, I can't believe what you did to me. And but you were so excited, we couldn't contain ourselves. And just last week, we were with our family getting some time of R&R, and it was dinner time, and we had our grandkids with us, and we're eating there, and Avonlea, our youngest, she's 5 months old, she was sitting on Nani's lap, that's my wife, Grandma, and so we're eating table food, and she's not old enough yet to have table food, she has the natural stuff, and all of a sudden my wife was eating her mashed potatoes, and Avonlea was just looking at those mashed potatoes. And so, you know, my wife kind of looked at Jacqueline and said, is it okay? And she says, go ahead, try. And so she got a spoonful of those mashed potatoes, and she gave Avonlea just a little taste of it. And it was hilarious. I mean, she took a bite of that, and she just screamed out, real food! No, she didn't do that. But what she did, her arms started flailing, her legs started flailing, and she was so excited. She couldn't control herself. And honestly, as we look at Psalms 103, that's where David was at. I mean, he was so overwhelmed with God's goodness and God's mercies and God's love and just how awesome God is. He was so excited about that. Look at verse number 1. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul. You know, he was so excited about the goodness of God. And may I say this, in the middle of summer, what's going to keep you growing spiritually is remembering how good God is. And may I encourage you, never get over the wonderful thrill that God loves you and God is good to you. And David here was so excited and thrilled about the goodness of God. And he said, bless the Lord. Now that word bless there means to salute. It means to kneel. It means to praise. David was overwhelmed with joy and gratitude for all that God has done for him. Now let me ask you a question. Are you overwhelmed tonight, right now, with all what God has done for you? Throughout this day, did you just kind of stop and have an ah moment where you just said, wow, God is so good. Wow, God is so good to me. God has blessed me in this area, in this area. And boy, he's aware of me and he knows me and he knows my pains. He knows my fears and he knows everything about me. Did you just have that awe moment where you realize that God is interested in you? And so many times what happens in our Christian life, we kind of take God for granted. And we only want God on our terms, like, Lord, I need you now. It's almost like a pet dog. You know, sometimes they're just an irritation. You know, you got to feed them, you got to clean up after them. But then there's other times where you kind of want that little companionship. And you call the dog next to you and you pet it and you think, oh, yeah, this is pretty cool. For about 10 minutes and the dog smells and you kick him out of the house and you're kind of done with it. And I'm not saying that that's what we do to God physically, but I think sometimes we live our lives that way. Now let me ask you, did you take time today to praise Him? Did you take time just to stand in awe of God's greatness? Here in Psalms 103, we find that David was so overwhelmed with just the goodness of God that he begins to pen these words that I hope that would be an encouragement to us so that when we leave tonight, listen, that we would be more of God's people, of praising God, not for what He gives us, okay, but for who He is and what He has done for us. So we're going to look at three reminders that will help us to keep praising Him. First of all, number one in your outlines, our engaging praise. Why should we praise Him? You know, a lot of times, you know, you hear different people. You know, the first thing that comes to my mind is sometimes on the golf course, you know, I've golfed with Dr. Sisk before, and he gets a good, you know, makes a good shot. And I said, good shot, Dr. Sisk. And he goes, praise the Lord. Or, you know, we're playing basketball and make a shot. And, hey, good shot. Well, praise the Lord. honestly, I don't think God gives a rip about my shooting ability on the basketball court. I don't think God says, well, yeah, praise the Lord, look at him. I really don't think God really gets too impressed with my golf swing. I don't think God gets impressed with us and what we do in that sense, and we shouldn't praise God for those things. But we ought to praise God for who he is. Let's look at the motivation for our praise. First of all, let's look at we praise him for his attributes. In other words, what defines God, who God is. And I just picked up four of them. I mean, we can list many, but I just thought, first of all, it'd be his omnipresence. God is everywhere present. He's with me and he's with you. When we leave and leave this place, guess what? God's going to be with you, but at the same time, he's going to be with me. And God is everywhere. Now, God isn't in everything, because God is not in the speaker. But God is everywhere. He's omnipresent. So no matter where we are, God's there. Psalms 139, verse number 7. Whether shall I go from thy spirit? Or whether shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be a light unto me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike in thee. Listen, we cannot run from God's presence. It's amazing when someone, you know, is going to do something wrong, what do they normally do? Kind of look around, don't they? I remember I was probably about 10 years old or so, and I was at my aunt's house, and we're getting ready to go ice skate and play ice hockey, and I didn't have tape for my hockey stick. And so we went to the store, and I didn't have any money, but I saw some tape there, and I hate to say this, but as a 10-year-old kid, I saw that tape, and I picked that tape up, and I stuck it in my pocket. And I walked out of that store. And as I walked out of the store, one of the workers saw me do that because they told my aunt, and my aunt came up to me, and she grabbed my ear like this, and she dragged me back into that store and says, now, what did you just do in this store? You know, before I took that tape, you know what I did? I looked around. I thought, okay, no one's looking, no one's watching me, so now I can do this. But guess what? Somebody was watching. And may I say this? God is always watching. Oh, we think we can get away with it because it's dark. But Psalms 139 says even in darkness, it's like light to God. There's no darkness with God. He's omnipresent. He is everywhere. Now, I tell you what, think about that. What encouragement that is. When we're going through a difficult time, a dark time, we think, well, where's God? He's there. Man, we can praise him for his omnipresence, but not only that, but his omniscience. Hey, God is all knowledge. The Bible says in the same chapter, 139, verses 1 and 2, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Listen, God knows everything. He is everywhere. He's omnipotent. God is all-powerful. Hey, there's nothing too hard for my God. And there's nothing too hard for your God. Nothing's too hard for him. Jeremiah 32, verse 17. Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth, and by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there's nothing too hard for thee. Now let me ask you, what do you need God to do in your life? What do you need? Listen, we all need something, because we're not perfect individuals. We need God to work in each of our lives, so I'm not sure exactly what you need, but may I say this, maybe it's healing, maybe it's wisdom, maybe you need a job, maybe you need a relationship restored. I'm not sure what you need, but listen, nothing is too hard for God. He's all-powerful. Maybe you have a loved one that's lost, maybe a family member, maybe a co-worker you're burdened for. May I say that there's nothing too hard for God. Listen, all things are possible. And then you think of this immutability. God is perfect, by which he is devoid of all change. I love Malachi 3, verse number 6. For I am the Lord, I change not. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. May I tell you what? This world's changing fast, but may I say this? His word is already settled in heaven. And listen, God's not changing. Now we can rest in that. We can praise him for that. Thank you that we could trust in your unchanging word. Hey, we could praise him for his attributes, but also we could praise him for his actions. In Psalms 103 and verse number 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious. Now this, I think so many times as believers, we'll read a verse like that, but we don't allow it to really to sink in. God is gracious. God is merciful. God doesn't give us what we deserve. Hey, I know what Jerry Fursell deserves. I know what I deserve. But I am so thankful that he is merciful to me. You know, all we have to do is take time, maybe get into your easy chair at your house and sit down and just think about his mercy towards you. Sometimes I think we just have a too high opinion of ourselves. And we might think this, well, God is just lucky that he has me. Now, we would never say that. I hope not. But listen, God is merciful. He doesn't give me what I deserve. Man, just relish in that. Just rejoice in that. And then is his grace. He gives me what I don't deserve. Hey, I don't deserve salvation. For by grace you are saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Listen, salvation is not because, you know, we've earned it. You know, we've worked for it. No, it's because of his grace. And never get over that simple biblical truth that we are saved by grace through faith. Listen, we can rejoice. We can praise him in the middle of summer because of what he has done for us. Amen. Now we see the motivation of our praise, but second of all, letter B, we see the measure of our praise. Think about what the psalmist says, bless the Lord, O my soul. And what's the next word? Let's say it all together. Ready? That's not all of us. Ready? All. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. All that's within me. Have you ever done something half-heartedly? Huh? Have you ever done something like that? I mean, you did it, and you got it done. And you're thankful you got it done, but you didn't give it your best. You didn't give it your best. How many times as parents have we asked our kids, did you do your best on that test? Did you do your best? What happens many times? Well, they'll do. They'll drop their head. And they'll kind of go, no, Dad, I didn't do my best. I didn't study like I should have. I passed. I didn't do my best. Now, let's bring this home now. Think about what David's saying here. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, all that's within me. Bless his holy name. When's the last time, listen, you got excited, just you and God? Where you got so happy because of who he is, that you began just to praise him. You began just to clap your hands and say, God, you're so good to me. I am so thankful for your goodness. You are so good. Hey listen. If we're going to keep on building our lives, if we're going to be joyful, happy, excited, vibrant Christians, listen, we've got to get our eyes off of ourselves. And we have to get fixed on him. Remember, he never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so because of that, I can worship and praise him with all of my being. Now you might say, well, brother, so that's, you know, you get a little excited. But that's not my makeup. I'm a little bit more reserved. Yeah, you just watch your favorite sports program. Or ladies, your favorite, you know, cooking show. Or whatever. And it's amazing how excited you get. It might be your kids doing something. And you get excited for them. Or, you know, your wife, you know, cooks a great meal. Whoa, you get excited about that. And you ought to, okay? Let me make this statement. We might think modest praise is better than no praise at all. But it's not true. Modest, formal, lifeless praise is an insult to who God is. God deserves a wholehearted worship.
Amen.
Not just a little token. Oh, praise the Lord. What we ought to do, and I think this is primary in our quiet time, when it's just you and God, that we ought to just get happy about the goodness of God. I'll tell you what's going to keep you excited in the Christian life. It's just realizing who He is and getting excited about his awesomeness. Oh, the psalmist is just crying out with great joy, and he's consumed. I mean, he's consumed with just the goodness and the greatness of his God. All that's within me, bless his holy name. Psalms 42, verse 5, David's going through a time of discouragement. And he asks himself this question, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. He's saying, David, why are you discouraged? David, get up and get your focus on who I am. Listen. If there's any group in the Antelope Valley that ought to be happy, it's us.
Amen.
We ought to be happy. Listen, we ought to be happy. You say, well, you know what? Listen. God doesn't change if you're going through difficult times. Hey, you're going through difficult times, God is still merciful. Hey, you're going through difficult times, you got some heartache there, listen, God is still gracious. Hey, God is still omnipresent. Hey, God is still omniscient. Listen, God knows exactly what you and I need. And God, through his loving hands, he brings those into our life. Listen, don't question God's greatness or his goodness. God is good all the time. Number two, our encouraging practice. An encouraging practice. Look at what it says in verse number two. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. You know what's amazing is this. How soon we forget. How soon we forget. I mean, we forget, you know, someone's birthday. We forget someone's anniversary. We just forget. And it's pretty sad how often we forget all his benefits. All the benefits that he has poured into our lives, we forget. Letter A, remember your blessings. There's a song in your psalm book. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. You know what you ought to do tomorrow? All right? If some of you, you know, look, some of you might be a little down or discouraged. Listen, what you ought to do is take 3 minutes and write down some blessings. Are you able to get out of bed tomorrow? Well, not as quick as I used to. Were you able to get out of bed? You know, Psalms 150 says, let everything have breath, praise the Lord. If you're breathing, if you're sucking air tonight, listen, you ought to be praising God. remembers blessings. In Psalm 77, verse number 11, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. Look at Psalm 78. I don't know if this is in your notes. I don't think it is. Turn your Bibles to Psalm 78. Psalm 78. Look at verse number 11. As they're recalling the children of Israel, you think if any group of people in the Old Testament that would remember all of God's blessings, it would be that group right there. I mean, there they were in Egypt, they were in bondage, they were being abused, beaten. And here, God miraculously led them out of bondage. I mean, you know, he brought all those plagues, you know, the frogs and the lice and, you know, the flies, and turned water into blood. I mean, there's all those different plagues. He brought it to them. I mean, the death angel. I mean, just think about what God did. You would think that those people would never forget. Every time they see one fly, it'd be a reminder. You see a frog, just one, it'd be a reminder. And this last week, we were on vacation, we were eating at this restaurant, and it just seemed like there was flies everywhere. And we kind of asked, hey, is this normal? We don't remember this. He said, no, it's the flies are here this year. And they were just, it was just crazy. And I thought of the children of Israel. Look what the Bible says in verse 11. Talking about, and they forgot his works and his wonders that he had showed them. Marvelous things he did in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt. And they forgot everything. They forgot what God did. Hey, can I say this? Don't forget what God has done for you. Psalms 106, verse number 1, praise you, Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. But not only should we remember, but we ought to rest in his blessings. We ought to rest in his blessings. Look at Psalm 68, verse 19. Bless the Lord, who daily loadeth us up with benefits. Now think about that. What do you get in your mind's eye when you talk about loadeth up? Maybe ice cream? Hey, hon, give me an extra scoop. Maybe it's, you know, mashed potatoes and gravy and, you know, steak. I don't know what. Loadeth up, you know, give me some more. I mean, just where your plate is what? Overflowing. Loadeth up. Now think about this. Bless the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits. Every day. He just shovels his benefits into our lives. But let me ask you a question. Has it changed how you live? Now, Brother Shep, what would you do if every day I came to you and I gave you $1,000 every day? Huh? You'd be looking for me. Hey, you would say, hey, he came by at 8:30 my office, by the office, and he gave me $1,000. I came by again at 8:30 and gave you another $1,000. And the next day, the third day, I gave $1,000. And after, just think about it, listen. After 365 days, I'm still giving you $1,000 every day. I'm loading you up every single day with benefits. I think about 8:29. I think he's sitting in his office. Do I hear him coming down the hallway? Is he coming? Is he coming? Is he coming? There he is! April 1st, good to see you! Hey, every day, God loadeth his benefits into our life. Listen. That ought to make you shout. That ought to put a little skip in your walk. I'll say, you know what? God, you are so good. Woo! That's in the Greek. Listen, he loadeth us up with benefits. Even the God of our salvation. Oh. Look at Psalms 116. It's in your notes. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits? Hey, when you go for a new job in the interview and they're kind of laying out the package for you, you don't know when to bring it up, but you say, okay, what's the benefits? what do I get? How many days of vacation? Is there a 401k plan? How many sick days and how many vacation days and how many personal days? Hey, what are my benefits? This is what the psalmist said. For all the benefits that God has given to him, he said, I will offer to thee sacrifice of thanksgiving. God, I'm just going to come to you. I'm going to bow down to you. I'm just going to say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for your goodness to me. You have blessed me. Day after day after day, year after year after year. God, you are so good. Now, folks, listen. If we're not thanking God, we are expecting from God. God, give to me. He said, not only will I offer you a sacrifice of thanksgiving, but he said, I will enter into your courts, verse 19, with praise. Praise ye the Lord. And finally, let's look at this final thought. Our empowering promises. Look at verse number 3, and we're just going to kind of fly through this, okay? But look at verse number 3. Now, it begins to develop 6 empowering promises that he gives to us. Look at what he says. Who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfy thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like eagles. So, what are these promises? Let me give to you real quick, 6 of them real quick. Number 1 is this. He forgives us. Wow. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. Now, the word iniquity doesn't mean our mistakes. Hey, we make a lot of mistakes. Yeah, I cooked on vacation and I kind of burnt some food. I didn't do it purposely. It was a mistake. God doesn't forget. I'm forgiving you for your mistakes. No, you know what he forgives us for? Our sin. Where we willfully do wrong. Our bentness. Perverseness. He forgives us. Our iniquities that's ingrained in our heart. He forgives us of our iniquities. Listen, don't ever get over that God has forgiven you. Look at verse number 12. He says, as far as the east is from the west, So hath he removed our transgressions from us. Now, he didn't say the north from the south. Because if you go north, you travel north, that would be that way. Once you hit the North Pole, then you're going to start traveling south. And then when you get to the South Pole, guess what? Then you're going to start traveling north. But listen, the east is from the west. Listen, if I'm heading west, I'm going to be always heading west. It's infinite. If I'm going east, guess what? I'm always going east. Hey, the Bible says he casts our sin as far as the east from the west. Listen, they never connect. They're just gone forever. Woo! I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven. This is not because I've earned it. No, it's because of his goodness and his greatness. Not only does he forgive us, but he heals us. The psalmist is not talking about physical healing of the body, but more importantly, of the soul. In Psalms 30, in verse number 2, O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse number 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, hey, we are healed. Wow. The only one that can heal a person's soul is the great physician, Jesus Christ. But then he redeems us. Look at verse number 4. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Hey, listen, all of our lives was head for destruction. Every single one of us. As a teenager, my life was on that pathway to destruction. But thank God, he reached down and he redeemed me from my sin. Oh, the Bible tells us the Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none that trust in him shall be desolate. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 and 5, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that are under the law, that we might receive the adoption of his sons. Man, he redeems us. He heals us. He forgives us. Number 4, listen, he crowns us. Look at verse number 4, the second part. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. He crowns us. But not only that, but then number 5, he satisfies us. Verse number 5, he says, who satisfy thy mouth with good things. In Psalms 104, verse 28, that thou givest them that gather, and thou openest thy hand, and they are filled with good. Then the Bible says in Psalms 107, verse number 9, for he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. I love Psalms 34, verse number 8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. I don't know about if you're like me or not, but when I taste something that's really good, I think everybody else is going to like it too. And I get really excited about, hey, you got to taste this. And this is knock your socks off, man. This is unbelievable. Taste this. And sometimes they don't, get as thrilled as I would hope. But may I say this? Oh, taste. And see how good God is. And if that isn't enough, not only does he forgive us, and not only does he heal us, and not only does he redeem us, and not only does he crown us and satisfies us. Hey, listen, let's remember this. Hey, sin never satisfies. Never. You always want more. Sin doesn't satisfy, but the Lord does. But then, lastly, he renews us. Look at verse number 5, the last part. Who satisfy thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Now, some of us more mature people, old, okay, elderly, you get around these young kids and you say, man, I used to have that energy. Man, I used to, you know, just go all day and run all day and play all day and fight to go to sleep. I don't want to go to sleep. I'm not tired. Hey, you see kids like that, and you think, yeah, man, if I could just kind of tap into that. Oh. So that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Hey, maybe we don't have that oomph like we once did. Maybe because we haven't been praising him like we should. Let's bow together. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your greatness. And Lord, we need just to take a few moments each and every day to stop this world. You remind us, be still and know that I am God. Lord, help us to be still. Help us to remember all of thy blessings. And Lord, I pray that you'd encourage us and strengthen us, and may we rejoice in the forgiveness and how you crown us with loving kindness and your tender mercies. And Lord, may we never get over what you've done for us. May it transform us into a people that praise you. With our heads bowed and our eyes are closed, let me just ask just a couple quick questions. Would anybody be honest enough to say, you know what? I have taken my eyes off the Lord. And I've kind of looked really at my circumstances. And I've lost that joy. And God kind of worked me over a little bit tonight. And I need to get some things right with just him and me. How many would be honest and say, you know what, that's where I'm at. Here's my hand. Great. Awesome. Who else? Here's my hand. How many say, boy, I've been kind of taking things for granted. I haven't had those awe moments. I've been just kind of just neglecting, forgetting all the benefits that God has given to me daily. And I need to get back to that part where I'm praising God and thanking God for what he's done for me and for who he is.